We're ready for some football, baby.
It's a Football Friday with the boss.
I call shot like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check out my lip gloss. I only rock clear.
On the SportsMap Radio Network.
From the SportsMap Radio Studios, here's David Gow.
And Carla Dawson.
I got that.
Welcome in, everyone. It is, in fact, the boss and the gloss filling in on this Monday night. And it's a fun night to be in studio because we've got the Monday night football game looming. I've got Carla Dawson, the gloss, sitting next to me. And in studio, the inimitable Ken Hoffman joins us. So we've got a threesome today.
We've got the boss, gloss, and the Hoff.
It's not the first time you and I have had a threesome.
Okay, boys, we are already going R-rated. Bring it back down. Bring
you
it back
just
down.
Never know
just
where
the open. It is just the open.
You Jesus. Just never know where Hoffman might take us. But we're coming out of an incredible football weekend. That Sunday matchup, the Vikings and the Bills, epic. One of the
game
most
of the
amazing
season.
Games I've seen in a long, long time. So many twists and turns. Fun
oh,
to watch
man.
That one.
We got to unpack that one later. That was
we
too
will
good.
Unpack that one.
Too good.
We're going to unpack the Astros and what happened to their general manager, James Click. We're going to look to Ken Hoffman to fill us in on all of that. We'll unpack the Monday Night Football matchup tonight. The Eagles are the only undefeated team in the league. Those 72 Dolphins waiting to pop the champagne bottle, but I don't think it's going to be tonight because they face the Commanders and the Eagles are the better team.
Yeah, and we'll have to unpack that a little bit too because they've got some quarterback things going on. Not this week. Taylor Heineke is going to get the fourth start in a row, but Wentz is supposed to come back next week from his injured finger. And you know what? That's just not an easy decision. Wentz has not been the franchise guy that they've expected him to be. Shocker!
No, and they actually have an incentive not to play him too much because if they... He gets, what, 70% of the snaps?
Right.
Then the draft capital that goes to the Colts will be richer. And speaking of which, the Colts got to win. Jeff Saturday's on the
really
board.
We really need to go there already. What did I tell you last week? Jeff Saturday's going to become Jeff Sunday at the hands of my beloved poor Raiders.
Well, you
sure
did.
Sure enough,
you
they
did
delivered.
Predict that one.
They delivered.
All right. We're going to come back in just a minute, and we've got Ken Hoffman on set with us. And I've got a lot to unpack with Hoffy. I want to ask him about the Astros here. This is the first time I can ever recall that a World Series champion has let go of their general manager who got them the title. We're going to ask Ken what went down here in Houston. We'll be right back. We'll unpack all those topics. You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the SportsMap Radio Network. The Boss
and the Gloss
on the SportsMap Radio Network. From the SportsMap Radio Studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and it is, in fact, the Boss and the Gloss with a Monday night edition, and we're joined in studio by Ken Hoffman. He writes for CultureMap.com and SportsMap.com. He is a man about town here in the city of Houston. Ken, I was just thinking, we were talking the last time you and I saw each other, we were in New Jersey.
Right.
For an epic concert, Paul McCartney on his 80th birthday. What a night it was.
Yeah, it was, you know, a lot of times you make plans and, you know, they just fall apart, right? You know, like, you go there, are my tickets here? We have no idea who you are, and you wind up just going home. That night, we had front row of the second level.
That's right.
Oh, nice.
And an Uber from Manhattan right to the front gate. We got in. You bought a sausage sandwich that you seemed to enjoy a little too much for my...
It was delicious.
It was a real authentic New York, you know.
I look for Hoffy's food guidance all the time.
Yeah, and then Paul McCartney comes out. He looks great. We heard every... You know, the sound system was so fantastic. You hear every guitar string. It was just perfect. And then he says, someone's going to join us for a couple of songs. Bruce Springsteen walks out.
He's a local.
We're just looking at each other like, this is unbelievable. And then there's like 80,000 people there, and we found our Uber driver, and we got back, and I was eating pizza an hour later. It was
okay, that's a dream evening.
One of the best nights of your life.
It really was. And when Bruce came out, Bruce Springsteen came out, and of course, he's the local boy. We were in New Jersey, and the crowd lit up to see the boss. And then he had the crowd sing Happy 80th Birthday to Paul McCartney, which was a really special moment.
Awesome.
Yeah, Bon Jovi comes out for the Happy
Birthday. Oh, sure, another local.
And Bruce Springsteen sang Glory Days.
That's right.
He sang his best song. And then, you know, Paul McCartney just let it be, and they did it, you know, 2,000.
Oh, seats. Y'all are giving me chills. This is amazing.
Our seats were perfect.
Yep.
You know, they couldn't have been better.
Special, special night.
Yeah,
Paul
McCartney
still got
out.
It.
I'm fine.
Oh,
totally,
we should have had.
Totally
why did you
fine.
Not invite Carla with
Thanks.
Us?
Well, you got the story a little twisted. I said the only thing that would make this night any better would be Carla.
Well,
there
that's
we
true.
Go. There we
you
go.
Said she's a drag on your life. I thought that was, you know.
She got left behind.
It was a bit much, I thought. Yeah, so
let's change it to the Hoff and the Gloss. I think the boss is out now.
That's. Let's face it, it's only a matter of time.
He is Ken Hoffman. He goes by Hoffy. He'll go by Hoff tonight. And he joins us in studio. Okay, I want to ask you about the Astros because they had this incredible run. They won the World Series. And lo and behold, they're not renewing their general manager, James Click. He is out. How big of a shocker is that to you?
Oh, I think everybody saw it coming. He had conflicts with the owner. And that's not a smart thing to do.
No, it's not.
The owner says,
then why do you two keep fighting with me?
Well.
But we digress.
That's a lack of.
That's for a longer, much longer segment.
All right. So Click and Crane did not connect.
Yeah. You know, Crane wanted the reliever, and he said no. And then Click wanted a big staff, and Crane is a limited staff guy. And then there was.
It's quality control.
Who was going to play center field? Click wanted Myers, and Crane didn't. It was just
they didn't want to get rid of Miles Straub. Dusty Baker and Crane are aligned on these decisions, and Click is the odd man out. Wilson Contreras, that trade that was not done because Dusty said no, yeah. And the catcher from the Cubs, and Crane said no, yeah. And they didn't want to get rid of Miles Straub.
I wouldn't be surprised if that trade happens now. Though.
It might happen. Yeah. It might, but you know it's going to happen because they did the right thing. I mean, Dusty was completely right. We did totally fine with our catchers, and Christian Vasquez was a great pickup. You know, with Contreras, the problem with him, he's not a great defensive catcher. We needed defense in the World Series for sure. He's injured a lot. I like what our catcher room looks like.
Yeah, at some point, though, you can't absorb a 180 batting average.
No, that's true.
Now, Christian Vasquez is a free agent, so they're going to have to look at how to fill
that
spot.
But look at the
spot.
Hit he had in Game 6. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, he gave the insurance. He was the RBI for the insurance run.
I'd be surprised
so.
If Maldonado was catching 120 games next year. He's not. The thing about him that surprised me is he's a great catcher. He's not a fantastic defensive catcher. He led the league in pass balls, I think. And he, the saint, you know what pop time is? It's from
yes.
The time.
Yes.
It's from the time when the ball hits your glove to the time it hits the second baseman's glove on a steal.
Yep.
Vasquez and Maldonado, identical. And neither one of them is in the top three or four, you know? Mm. So it's just hard.
But with a 106-win season, it's okay.
Yeah.
They're doing pretty good.
That just speaks to the other
right.
Seven.
It's a complete
players.
Team. It's yeah. A complete team.
Is there not also
from
a perception that, well, okay, Jim Click, thanks for your tenure here, but this talent pool came from Jeff Luhnow, his predecessor.
Not in James Click's mind.
No, yeah.
I mean, truly, I think that's the problem.
Yeah, but James Click also built the farm system up. He's done very well by the Astros. It's just a personality and not listening to the boss. That's what I derive from it.
Well, I think it was
get someone else.
It was kind of a clash of egos as well, because honestly, James Click, you know, he was not a general manager in Tampa Bay, and he came, you know, he was an assistant somewhere, and he had a high up position, but he got this position as a general manager. You have to me, and Ken, you can tell me otherwise, you got to realize who's signing your paychecks, and that's Jim Crane. And if you look at the past 6 years, you've got, you know, six titles, you know, you've gone to the ALCS six straight times, consecutive times. You have four pennants and you have two World Series titles. Who are you, James Click, to step in as general manager and tell Jim Crane how to run a team? He didn't want to be this involved in the baseball operations, but he lost trust in Click fairly early on because trying to push agendas that he and Dusty did not want. And then I think what really sealed it for Click is going to Las Vegas and airing the dirty laundry, airing his grievances about Crane. That, to me, is so short-sighted in my mind, because, A, it's going to get back to Crane, and it's not going to be well-received. Crane is a tough businessman, and he knows what he's doing. Secondly, you're at the general manager's meeting. You're going to get fired or not renewed, whatever it is. What team wants to pick up someone who's doing that to their owner?
Oh, I think 29 other teams.
Probably, but I don't think it's a good look. I wouldn't hire a guy that feels okay to do that.
More involved, you know, you can say Well, who did Click think he was? Most teams, the general manager does run the show completely. And the owner is a guy who's just sitting up here smoking cigars.
Which is what happened with Lunau, basically.
And what Lunau did was fantastic.
Yes.
Except for one, you know, little aspect of him. But James Click, he didn't get the most precious thing a general manager has is he picks the manager. James Click did not pick Dusty Rhodes. Dusty Baker.
Right. Baker was hired first.
Yeah. Which was very different from the way baseball teams operate. So James Click, when he went to Las Vegas, he was already out of here. And he went there to apply for jobs to talk to other teams. But he will have no problem getting a job. He's very successful. He was successful in Tampa Bay. You know?
Yeah, he was.
Like one of the problems, I don't know if it was the smallest payroll in all baseball, but it was close. And here, it's we're like in the upper middle here. We're not like the Boston or Dodgers or anything like that.
Right.
But they got a lot of money. And once Verlander signs someplace else, they'll have a lot of money to spend.
All right, you jumped to my next question. Is it a fait accompli that Verlander's leaving the Astros?
See, I pronounce it a fait accompli. How do you say it? No, seriously. You say fait.
Fait accompli. Is it a...
Yeah, I think I push it all together. Fait accompli.
Fait accompli. Is it a done deal?
Yeah, he's already declared free agency. But that's just a maneuver to get more money. You know, they'll probably offer him 1 or 2 years to stay here, and the Yankees will offer him 4 years at Scherzer, Max Scherzer money.
Yeah, that's what he wants. I mean, Scherzer reset the market like Francisco Lindor did for shortstops.
Yeah. You think the Mets are happy with either of those two deals?
No joke. And it was the Mets that did it both.
Yeah, they're both.
So,
we're looking at a 39-year-old pitcher, too.
Yeah. Yes, but they don't care. Scherzer's, what, 36? 38. He's getting like 40-something a year.
One of the things they used to say about Barry Bonds is you don't get better after age 35. That's a sign of steroids. It's one of the signs. Improving at age 35. Verlander didn't break down, but he wasn't as effective in the postseason as he was during the regular season.
Yeah, that's right.
When he got through 5 innings at the World Series, game 5, everybody breathed a heavy sigh. No,
so did he. I've never seen him look so happy.
Yeah.
I think that was the best moment of the whole postseason for him, finally getting that World Series win.
He got a win, and he went 5 innings, and they were very, very... Wow, we got through 5 with this guy.
Right.
And, and he's coming off 2 years of not playing. And then he had this, he's going to win the Cy Young Award next week.
Right, right.
An extraordinary season.
With the 1.75 ERA, it's incredible.
Yeah, that regular season, just outstanding. So somebody will pay him big time capital.
Yes, and he's a draw. He brings a wife with him that is popular with the fans. He's a great guy.
He's a great guy.
He's a Hall of Famer. But I think the Astros, please sign with somebody else.
Well, you talk about Kate Upton.
They have 5 starters without him.
Well, I know. I mean, look at this. Without Verlander, Framber Valdez, Lance McCullers, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia, Urquidy, who we barely saw. And then we've got this, this emergence of Hunter Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, sure, would I love to have Verlander back? I would. I think he's a great teammate. A great guy. The city of Houston loves him. He's been great to us, and I'm so impressed with how he has come back from Tommy John surgery at his age. But to pay him Max Scherzer money, I would rather go out and get. We're going to have an issue at first base. If Yuli wants to come back,
and center field,
and they could use some lefties in that lineup.
If you had game 7 right now, who would you rather have pitch? Valdez
or Verlander?
Or Verlander?
Oh, Valdez all day.
100%.
Yeah.
Valdez was lights out. Fantastic. And we're lights out for the moment. We're going to come right back. We're going to ask, we've got Ken Hoffman in set here with the Boss on the Gloss. He's a world traveler. We're going to ask him if he had been in Germany amongst the Germans.
What would he be singing?
What would he have been singing? Because they were singing songs to Tom Brady this weekend. We'll ask Ken about a song when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. You've got David and Carla, The Boss and the Gloss, joined by Ken Hoffman, the man about town here in Houston, Texas, and a world traveler at that, Ken Hoffman. So I want to pose this. The NFL chose to play a big game in Germany. It was the Buccaneers and the Seahawks. Buccaneers coming out on top. From both sides, even the Seahawks who lost, They said the experience in Germany playing before the German fans was A+. They absolutely loved being there. The German fans were rabid about having American football on site. And notably, they sang two songs at different points in the game. Two songs I might not have picked, but they sang Sweet Caroline, of course, the Neil Diamond song that's always sung at Fenway Park when the Red Sox play, and John Denver's Take Me Home Country Roads, which surprised me a bit, and because that's not a song
that
I hear.
The whole stadium singing. It was really
the
powerful.
The whole stadium singing.
69,000 people.
An amazing moment and a real celebration. They were just enjoying the time and the celebration of American football in Germany. But we've got here a world traveler, a renowned music expert in Ken Hoffman here in studio. Ken, what would you say to the Germans? Did they pick two quality songs? Are you satisfied with those two?
Absolutely. You know, Sweet Caroline, it's a weird thing. It's not just played at Boston Red Sox games. I think, you want to look this up, it's played at Indiana football games. It's played in several places. It's not
Why
just...
Why is that?
How did that get started?
Yeah.
Why?
It's not my favorite song, but...
here's my stance on this. I told this to Carla before. When I was young, I liked Neil Diamond.
Yeah.
And my friends sort of made fun of me because, well, Neil was sort of...
You should not be talking about this.
Hokey. Yeah. I'm coming out of the closet. I was a Neil Diamond fan.
You think that's the reason they made fun of you?
Well, but probably one of many reasons they were making fun of me. But so you salute, you approve of Neil Diamond. What about John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads?
Yeah, John Denver, fine. Well, you know.
But how do the Germans even know that song?
There's a Rod Stewart song that is played at football stadiums throughout Europe. I think Sail Away, is that the name of the song? It's weird how things just happen. Why is Boston playing a New York guy, Neil Diamond?
Yeah.
He is quintessentially New York. He's Brooklyn. And they're playing it at the main rival.
And right now...
Are you looking up where Sweet Caroline is played?
Yeah, it says here, why do the British sing Sweet Caroline? The reason football fans sing Sweet Caroline stems from the song becoming a victory anthem for a Boston baseball team who played it during a match in the 1990s for a colleague who had named her baby Caroline. Go figure.
Yeah, it's about Caroline Kennedy.
Yes, exactly.
But it's played at universities in the United States, too.
That is so nuts. Well, yeah. And I did hear why they sing John Denver at the end.
Tell us.
The Germans sing Take Me Home Country Roads during Oktoberfest. So it was kind of a happy Oktoberfest memory for them. And did you hear that they had demand for 3 million tickets for that game at Allianz Arena, which is where their German football team plays, for the Seahawks-Bucks game last night. First time the NFL has been in Germany. Obviously, it's not going to be the last. And Tom Brady is the only quarterback to have won in four different countries, the U.S., Mexico, England, and Germany. Crazy town.
Well, can you speak...
Not so much in Florida, though.
No.
Well, divorce court.
That's right. He's up at 500 now. He's climbing on up.
Yeah, the Bucks with the win. They defeated the Seahawks 21-16, and Tampa Bay climbs back to 5-5. So, Ken, what song would you have told the Germans to sing?
For Tom Brady, isn't there a Tammy Wynette song, D-I-V-O-R-C-E? I think there is.
Probably. It sounds like a country song, yeah.
But I watch Tom Brady. I love him. He's one of my favorite athletes. He is 45 now.
He is 45.
Just throwing the ball. How many quarterbacks have more zip on it, have a stronger arm, or throwing it?
Quickest release, for sure.
He's all pro right now. He's great. He's playing better than Aaron Rodgers is playing.
That's not hard.
Other than Tua and... Josh up in Buffalo and
Patrick Mahomes.
And Patrick Mahomes. He's one of the five best, wouldn't you say, right now? Tom Brady?
I would say so. I put Justin Fields in there right now.
Justin Fields?
With his numbers, yes, the past 3 weeks.
Gal throws more accurately than Justin Fields does.
Well, the last 3 weeks, he's coming on. I'm impressed with what he's doing.
Doesn't he have the lowest quarterback rating of anybody?
I know, but you people need to look at his stats. People are talking about him in the MVP race now.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
Fields getting a lot of love over the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Of course, he's only in his second year, and he's not an accomplished passer. but he's using his feet, setting up some good runs. It's interesting. I was looking at sort of the consensus top MVP candidates in the league right now. Jalen Hurts, right near the top of that list. I mean, there he is. He's shepherding a team with an 8-0 record as they face the Commanders tonight here on Monday Night Football. Behind him, Patrick Mahomes, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Jefferson, the wide receiver who lit it up yesterday in that thrilling win by the Vikings over the Bills. And then Saquon Barkley deserves some mention. I mean, this is the former number two pick overall who has struggled with injuries, but now this year finally having that breakout season.
And Josh Allen was in the MVP conversation, but at the past couple weeks have been rough for him.
Let me ask you this.
He may be back.
In your whole life watching pro football, you've watched 1,000 games. Have you ever seen a better quarterback than Patrick Mahomes?
Great question.
That's a great question.
Suddenly got some silence.
In history, is there a more talented quarterback than Patrick Mahomes?
Arm
strength, accuracy, running, team leadership, the whole thing, understanding the game.
So the diversity of his throws, his ability to throw deep, short, high, low,
arms, the
everything.
Hustle, the way he sees the field.
Creativity.
It's almost unparalleled, his ability to move around. And the way when he moves, he doesn't just take off running, but he moves to buy time in order to keep his eyes downfield and make a throw.
He's a freakish athlete.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not quite ready to declare him sort of greatest of all time because
it's almost too early in his career.
I didn't say greatest, just most talented.
Yeah. No, his talent jumps off the charts. Look, physically and the diversity of his throws, yes, he's more impressive than Tom Brady, who's almost mechanical and consistent on every throw. But Brady has been so good for so long and so effective.
But he doesn't run.
No, he doesn't move like that. He's always had a nice ability to sort of sense spots in the pocket, right? Brady can shift around a few steps and buy himself some time. No, Mahomes is just off the charts impressive.
But Mahomes has also had weapons that nobody has had the dearth of weapons. Nobody currently has the dearth of weapons that he has had.
Miami's got some.
Now they do. This year is a totally different thing. But the past couple years with just the combo of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce is enough. And then you add, everybody else. I mean, he has great coaching. He had the benefit of being under Alex Smith for almost an entire season, who himself is a great quarterback and a great mentor and vet. And Patrick Mahomes got to learn under Andy Reid and Alex Smith. I mean, he was set up beautifully, and he's a freakish athlete and a super good guy.
And he's just starting.
Yeah. He's young.
Yeah, they
may run off some good Super Bowls here, not the least of which because one thing about that Tyreek Hill trade, though they lost Tyreek Hill, they've amassed a lot of draft capital. So you think about the talent pool they're going to add to build around Mahomes and to give that defense some more talent. Look out for the Chiefs. They're really a team to watch over the next few seasons.
They're never one to take lightly, ever. Because when you have Patrick Mahomes under center, you always have to be worried, even when there's 13 seconds left on a clock.
Yeah, remember him last year against the Bills. It was crazy.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
Well, so that Bills-Vikings game yesterday was crazy. And Josh Allen was not at his best.
For the third week in a row.
Right. When we saw him lose to the Chiefs last year, that was because Mahomes was brilliant. Allen was really step for step with Mahomes' last playoff game. But yesterday, Allen made some mistakes. I mean, the fumbled snap cost him the game. They had it done. And he fumbled the snap that led to the score by the Vikings and then sent the game into overtime.
Yeah, but the game last year was because Kansas City got the ball first.
That's right.
It was overtime rules. Yeah.
Yep.
That helped.
Since
they won the game.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. I think yesterday, though, to me, was it because, the game ended on a Josh Allen interception in the end zone. Yikes. He has had multiple interceptions in three straight games. They're now third in the AFC East, can't even speak. But I think the issue is he can do so much. They're asking him to do much. He's not taking care of the little things.
All right, you've been listening to The Boss and the Gloss. We're going to come right back and break down more NFL topics when we return here on the Sports Map Radio Network. We'll be right back.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Back, and when we went to break, we were talking about that amazing Bills and Vikings game. And I think for a lot of America, it was a bust-out game for Justin Jefferson. It was a game that people got to see him on the biggest stage. I mean, that guy was...
Another bust-out game.
Well, sure. He's had many. He's been exceptional for a long time. But look, the Vikings don't get the same love and coverage as lots of teams do. And if he were having that kind of season, say, on the media coverage-heavy Dallas Cowboys, Justin Jefferson would be plastered all over the NFL. But yesterday, everybody had to take notice. That catch will be one of those things that played over and over.
OBJ is so bummed about it. OBJ's like, dang, he might have outdone my catch.
Right. So you saw that, Ken. You were impressed by that catch.
That catch, it's like the Giants. Remember Tyree caught one on his helmet?
Yes.
It's like that. But this one was probably more difficult because he was reaching back and one, you know, he's just a great player.
It's interesting. It was arguably going to be an interception. He muscled it down himself. I've heard some people say what that defender should have done rather than try to catch it is just swat it out of play. And by swatting it, he would have eliminated Jefferson's chance to come down with the ball.
Yeah. I mean, Jefferson had 10 grabs for 193 yards and a touchdown yesterday, and he got his 20th career plus 100 receiving yard game yesterday. And, you know, they asked him after the game, they said, you know, you all have been such a quiet, the Vikings have been such a quiet 8-1, you know, are you disappointed? No one's talking about you. He said, no, I don't want anyone to talk about us. Like, we're doing just fine without this media spotlight. I agree with him. I thought that's really mature of him.
Yeah, they're saying that's the greatest game ever played. Most exciting.
It was so exciting.
So many twists and turns. I really thought it was over when they had the great goal line stand stopping Cousins on the 1-inch line and then the fumble and then everything unfolded from there. Just a crazy game. But I want to ask both of you, Minnesota now 8-1, and this is a team that has snuck up on a lot of people. They've won a lot of close games as well. And I remember coming into this week, there was this view, well, if they could actually beat Buffalo, then we'll give them the attention they deserve. It was their statement win. Are you all now thinking Minnesota deserves to be considered among one of the elite teams in the NFL?
Of course they are. They're 8-1, but pending the outcome of tonight's game, you got the Eagles go 9-0. It's the Eagles. You know, Jalen Hurts, when he came up here, was very inaccurate, wasn't considered. You know, they may have to move him to defensive back or somewhere else, and it turns out they misjudged him.
Well, he worked his tail off to build his throwing skills.
Yes, he did.
And I think...
And he's from here.
Yeah, Channelview.
Channelview. You liked him. You followed him back in high school.
I did.
When he was the top recruit.
His dad was his coach in Channelview High School. I loved him, and I loved him at Alabama. So, then he had to transfer to Oklahoma, and he was so classy in that whole situation when he lost his job to Tua. I just think he comports himself really well, and he galvanizes a locker room, which is something that Philadelphia really struggled with Wentz.
Okay, you mentioned Tua. His Dolphins with another win. Dolphins now 7-3, and Tua is
7-0 with Tua.
Oh, yeah, when he both starts and finishes the game. He is 7 wins, no losses. Are we ready to say that the Dolphins have their quarterback?
Yeah. Yes.
You've been worried about his health.
Yeah. His availability, I'm not totally sold on yet. And like I said, I've said before, you know, things like when he has the ball, instead of sliding, he goes headfirst into two defenders. And that was after the two concussion week. And I'm like, okay, you've just got it. You've got to get out of your own way and learn the right techniques, because I think he's got the right coach. That Mike McDaniel and him are just mano a mano. He's got great pieces around him. He just has to be smart about
it. He doesn't have a cannon.
No,
he doesn't.
That's right. He's a dink and dunker usually.
If the Bills called up the Dolphins and said, we'll trade you right now, our two quarterbacks, the Bills would say no. The Dolphins might say yes.
That's right. Josh
That's
Allen's
a good
got
point,
the cannon.
Ken.
And Josh Allen is more physically imposing. He can run. Yeah. He can break tackles. Tua looks a little frail.
Well, he had his head taken off a couple of times.
He'd been beaten up. But this was one stat I read about Tua that I thought worth mentioning. Tua is only the 7th quarterback in the last 56 years to have thrown 3 TD passes and have a passer rating over 135 in three straight games. So his last three straight games, they've been amazing. I mean, he's playing at a very, very, almost an historic level.
Well, he's got Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle, which is an unbelievable duo in the NFL. Maybe the best. Truly.
And he plays in Miami.
Yes.
It's a nice place to play.
Yeah, good weather games. Yeah. Well, I mean, the amazing thing is coming into this season, no one, I think, would have said that the AFC East would be the toughest division in football. But here you have all four teams in the AFC East with a winning record. The Dolphins that's at the amazing top at 7-3, Jets 6-3, and that's a big surprise. Bills 6-3, and then Patriots still with a winning record at 5-4.
What do you think about the Jets quarterback? You think he's there to stay?
Whew, that's the tough one. That's the harder read. No, we've had concerns about Zach Wilson from the beginning.
Yes.
And, you know, Jake Asman here in the building, somebody who absolutely bleeds Jets green, is just dying to warm up to the thought that Zach Wilson's the franchise quarterback.
But he's a realist. He's smart.
But he recognizes that Zach's got a long way to go.
Yeah. I think the good news is they've got their coach. Robert Saleh is the man. I mean, he really is. And he's a great coach to play for. He was in San Francisco as well. Mm-hmm. I think he's done an unbelievable job with that Jets defense and bringing that team together. I think they've got their pieces. I just don't think that the quarterback position is completely set at this point.
He doesn't look like he's talented.
They've got their cornerback in Sauce Gardner. Yeah. David wanted the Texans, and I agree with him, to take him over Derek Stingley. And, of course, the Texans
didn't. Who do you think the Texans take in the first round next year with the first pick most likely?
That's a great question, because anything that would seem logical and make sense, they won't do. So I would have to think from something that would be ridiculous.
They'll feel the pressure of fans, and they'll take Bryce Young.
Sure.
Yeah,
sure.
This year, there really aren't many degrees of freedom. If the Texans have the number one overall pick, they're not going to trot out Davis Mills again next year.
No.
God forbid, right? So, no. Yes, they're going to take the best quarterback in their eyes. Last year in the draft, they had number three overall. I thought they were going to take the best corner. I thought it was Sauce Gardner. They went with Darryl Stingley.
He is the best corner.
Yeah, well, Sauce has been amazing playing for the Jets, taken after. But Stingley has been showing us some positive development. He's okay. He's coming on.
Well, and the reason he's okay is because the Texans don't know how to use him. They are not scheming well for him. That is their first round guy. He was taken in the top five, and they're not putting in plays for him. They are not using him well. So that's on the Texans, I think.
Have you ever seen a town give up on an NFL team like this?
No. And I'm from Oakland. Believe me, we stuck with that team. I don't know now in Las Vegas, but no, I haven't, Ken. Have you?
No, at the height of the Aints, remember with the paper bags? It was better than this. Oh. This team, between Deshaun and Easterby, the owner, the play, it's a total package. And they,
of disaster.
When they punt the ball and the ball goes up and you see the upper deck, it's empty.
Of course it is.
You know? And this is a team that 2 or 3 years ago had more season tickets on a waiting list than the Astros and the Rockets had on their season ticket list, period.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. So I was at the Houston Texans game a couple weeks ago. They were facing the Eagles, and
they were the visiting team.
Yes, there was a sea of green there.
It's like
and
when the
Eagles would score,
the
crowd went nuts. That was the loudest moment, was when the Eagles would score.
Yeah, the city has just given up on them. Mm-hmm. And they're just getting what they deserve right now.
They are. And you know what's such a missed opportunity, Ken and David, is that we are sitting here in Houston, Texas, the land of football, the state of football. And this city is so generous and so desperate to want an NFL team and just love on them like they did with their Love You Blue years with the Oilers. And this is what the Texans deliver.
But it's
deliver.
Not just that whole thing about Texas being football country. The University of Houston doesn't come close to selling out. And it's not the passion. And it's because of the Astros, I think.
Well, they did in the well, that's probably true. The Tom Herman days got U of H on the map and fun again and new facilities built and all. And Kelvin Sampson with the Cougars.
They don't sell out
basketball.
Either. They're the number three team in the country. They're not selling out. It's there's a whole thing. If you
there's
take
too much competing.
If
interest,
you take
your
hand and you put it, what's the northernmost team? New England, say, and you just sweep it towards down and to the left to San Diego. Wherever it's warm weather, you don't see the passionate fans you'll see in Steelers, Green Bay, Chicago Bears. Because you go to Memorial Park on a Sunday afternoon, it's packed, and the Texans are playing at home. where there's warm weather. You know, the USC and UCLA, they don't sell out. The Miami Hurricanes, at the height of that, they weren't selling out either. You know, that 30 for 30, you saw empty seats on the upper deck. It's when there's nice weather, people go to Clear Lake on their boats, or they go to Lake Conroe.
Says someone.
We've got Ken Hoffman in set here, owner of a beautiful home on Lake Conroe. And if you're lucky, you'll be invited to go there someday, Carla.
There we go.
He'll take you on a boat ride.
Once is enough in some cases.
Hey!
But it's true, where there's warm weather. Dallas is the anomaly in there. But Tampa Bay, the football team, they don't – nothing. The baseball team is horrendous. The Miami Marlins, is that their name?
Right.
I think they were the lowest. Yeah, they don't draw where the nice weather is. Unless you're the Dallas Cowboys, and that's a passion beyond belief.
Indeed it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Cowboys suffered a tough loss yesterday at the hands of their arch nemesis, the Packers. And Aaron Rodgers always seems to have their number one way or another. But the Cowboys had the Packers by the ropes. It was 28-14 and let the Packers weave their way back in. It did raise some red flags for that Cowboys team. The number one thing to me was the rushing defense.
The Pack was able to run
all day long, over 200 yards rushing. Aaron Jones was dominant in that game. And for Cowboys defense, a Cowboys team that's taken a lot of pride in their defense, to give up that much yards on the ground was really tough. It kept the ball out of the Cowboys offense. Really good showing for the Packers. Probably saved the Packers season. They're not done yet now. They've got a chance to get back in it.
Five-game losing streak for Green Bay.
Yep.
And I was so sad because I love the Cowboys. You've got me all into them, which is so fun. Second straight game, though, that they've allowed over 200 yards on the ground.
Well,
what has happened with this defense?
Teams are going to continue to run. When the Cowboys came out of the gate this year and everyone's animated about their defense, teams weren't really running on them all the time. They were trying to mix it up, might play more traditionally. And the Cowboys' pass rush is their strength. They've got a lot of long, angular bodies who can get after the passer. They've got a lot of speed on that defense, but strength, they can get overpowered at the line of scrimmage.
How much of this, if any of it, do you put on Mike McCarthy? Because obviously he came from Green Bay, where he had a long tenure, won one Super Bowl with the combo of Davante Adams and Aaron Rodgers. Now he's in Dallas. Can he win the big game? Have you seen him show the ability to be able to win a big game?
Well, he's won a Super Bowl. This is a guy who
won
one Super Bowl. The
And it's hard. I know
the,
it's hard.
The interesting dynamic with McCarthy, it's hard to evaluate, but when the Cowboys win and they have great defense, Dan Quinn's a genius. McCarthy's not mentioned. When they lose, McCarthy's an idiot. But Dan Quinn ran that defense that gave up over 200 yards rushing. So there's some kind of hot rod thing. Lightning. He's always the object of attention. And sometimes that may be fair, but what I'm afraid of is it distracts from the bigger issues. It's easy to blame the game on the fourth down decision that McCarthy made.
What do you think about that?
You could argue it either way. I would not defend him on it, but that's not the point. If they go away and say, oh, if we just made the right decision, we would have won the game, they got to go back and look at, why is Dak throwing a red zone interception? Why did they allow over 200 yards rushing?
Why did they get a penalty every other big play? They erased every big play.
Penalties have been a tough issue for the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we want to just say, oh, McCarthy's an idiot to call a go for it on fourth. And by the way, most of the reports I read today was sort of 50-50. So you argue one way or the other. But that's not the point. They got to get rid of their penalties. It's a distraction to pick on McCarthy. The penalties might be McCarthy's fault, but they've got bigger issues than one decision at the end of the game. They had so much more talent on the field. They should have won the game well before that. And frankly, Dak Prescott has not played at a high level for a long period of time. Look at his record from the second half of last year through this year, and he's been a very mediocre quarterback. Shoot, his QBR is 10 points less than Cooper Rush. The Cowboys were 4-1 with Cooper. They're 2-2 with Dak on this season. There's a concern about where Dak Prescott is right now.
Well, he's missed a lot of time, and I would think as a signal caller, rhythm is really key.
Yeah, but where was Cooper Rush's rhythm when he came in and took him 4-1? I mean, Dak Prescott's got to play at a higher level. For the salary he makes, he's not performing at the right level. And that's what – so we can – I guess when the Cowboys lost to the 49ers last playoff, it was easy to talk about the tough ending. But Dak played poorly, the offense didn't move, and they got run on it. And they had lots of penalties. Same problems this year. They haven't solved them.
Well, that's on the coaching staff as well.
All right. When we come back, we're going to let you guys decide which is the toughest division in football. That up next here on the Sports Map Radio Network.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gow
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, Carla. We've only got about a minute here before we close out this hour.
You did that on purpose. You don't hear from me anymore.
We won't get too much out of you this time. But how impressed are you by the AFC East?
I can't believe it. Everybody's got over 500 record, 1-4.
I mean, We all thought it'd be the AFC West coming into the season. And the AFC East had just impressed me. I guess the Jets and the Dolphins are the two biggest surprises. I always thought the Patriots would sort of be just above average because of Belichick's coaching.
Yeah, they're kind of where I expected them.
And we all knew the Bills were great. So really fun to see how they've all developed. When we come back, we're going to give you a preview of Monday Night Football. It's about to get underway. You've been listening to The Boss and The Gloss here on the Sports Map Radio Network.